You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is from FMB Wealth and Investment, portfolio manager at that institution. Wayne, it's June the 1st, so May's gone. So now we don't have to worry anymore. It's all over. Selling May and going away has gone. Everything's going to be fine now.
No, look, unfortunately, I don't really believe these old wives' market story tale. Although there is some credibility to sell in May and go away.
Yes.
But it's not 100% accurate. It's just May is maybe 30% more likely to have a market crash in May than other months. But it's not, you know, 400 times more likely than other months. So, and of course, anything like that, any sort of those market things, all sounds great. And you'll do all the statistical analysis and you'll prove your point and you'll be utterly convinced and totally convinced around it. And then the next May you try it. That's the time it doesn't work.
Exactly. No, it's entirely spurious. And it belongs to a bygone era when people, I mean, for example, Wayne McCurry in the 1930s, for example, or 1950s. Let's say the 1950s.
Well, even the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
You went on holiday and nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. You would have left, you know, the first week in May, and you would have said to your minions, like Lindsay Williams, I would have been your lackey, and you would have said, Lindsay, I'm going away to Europe for 3 months. I'm going to my villa on Corfu or something.
My villa,
Yeah, and you've got a little yacht moored
And you can't contact me, so yeah.
Exactly. So you just stay here. But I'm selling most of my holdings now. I've got the core holdings, but all these other ones, I just want you to ease into the market. And that would be the end of it. And so May would be a weak month, and then you'd come back in September. And that would be it.
Yes.
Doesn't work like that anymore, Wayne.
No, everyone's online all the time, unfortunately.
Yes, I agree.
There's no escape nowadays.
No escape.
I mean, even like me, for example, I'm actually semi-retired. So I officially work 3 days a week, but I'm actually working 5 days a week because you're online the whole time and people phone you the whole time and you go into meetings and you attend presentations and people book presentations and they do everything.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't work full day. So I'm still, you know, I'm still only working, you know, 8, 16, 24 hours a week, but over the whole time. Now, everyone's online all the time now. The saying, the sell in May and go away, is no longer that relevant.
No, it doesn't work anymore. Yeah, I really do prefer the days when there wasn't so much transparency. I know that sounds terrible for the ESG brigade, the governance brigade. Everyone needs to know every single day how much you're earning and how much you're not earning. It seems like that anyway, because there's never any surprises. I quite like a surprise occasionally.
There's still plenty of surprises because no one knows the future. So, yeah, there's still plenty surprises.
There was one thing that really did it was horrible for shareholders. It was something that hadn't been flagged at all, and there hadn't been any gossip on it. It was Gold Fields yesterday coming out and buying a gold mine, and the share price fell by 20%. But there'd been no flagging. There'd been no, we're in talks with this, with somebody, and this is our cautionary announcement. Came out of the blue, Wayne.
Out of the blue, and the market voted distinctly with its feet on that one.
Yes.
I haven't seen a big share announce a deal and be pounded 20% in a day.
Nor have
I haven't seen that for a – I can't remember when last I saw that, to be honest.
I mean, you're
not
a gold man, but that must have even surprised you.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, when you look, they're paying a 30% premium – they're paying obviously way above net asset value, but that's quite normal because you're buying a lot of, you know, future value, not current net asset value.
Yes.
They're paying, man, I did work it out, but I can't remember now. Is it a 14 PE, something like that, 15 PE? I can't remember. I did work it out. But, you know, I mean, no matter what I think, the market clearly voted with its feet there. I can't remember when last I've seen something like that. So I can bet you Gold Fields is hitting the street to try and explain this deal to all shareholders, to all and sundry, to all analysts, to the market as a whole, because that was a proper pounding.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was speaking to Shapiro yesterday, and he
says it's down another 2.5% today. Yeah.
So it's done about. I mean, I've suppose from top to bottom, probably about 24-25% lower than it was on Monday,
Remember the gold shares hit a peak. Gold shares hit a peak beginning of March. So Goldfields beginning of March was 250 rand a share. It's now 150 rand a share.
And the gold price has fallen.
That's
as
where
well.
It was in Feb.
Yeah, well, the gold price has fallen.
Yeah, the
quite
gold
a lot
price
as well.
Has fallen. Yeah,
yeah, it has, and also the rand has been remarkably stable. Who knows? I mean, Chris Griffiths, as David Shapiro was talking about, his history at Kumba Iron Ore, Anglo American Platinum, now Goldfields. He's got a good track record. He's a solid miner. I mean, proper old school miner. So I don't know. Maybe he's found something that nobody else had even considered before. I hope so.
But look, ultimately, you're taking a view on the price of the commodity, in this case, gold.
Yes.
You are taking a view on gold. And if gold goes up $500 an ounce, you'll look like a king. If it falls $500 an ounce, you'll be a villain because of this deal. Mm. You know, it's exactly the same as Sibanye and platinum and palladium. It's exactly the same. You know, Neil Froneman now, he got his timing right. Make no mistake about that. I mean, make truly no mistake about that. But if the platinum and palladium price, especially palladium, so when he bought Lonro and the Anglo-American platinum mines, the palladium price was, I call it 1,100, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200. You know, it peaked very shortly at 2,300 and it's now at 2,000. So now it looks as though this was the deal of a lifetime, but if the platinum price didn't go up, it might have even bankrupted Sibanye. Yeah. And he also bought Stillwaters at all, and that might have been the best one. But still, when a resource company buys another company, they're taking quite a clear view about the future price of that commodity. And if it's wrong, they go down as villains. When you think of Anglo-American buying that copper mine in 2008 in South America at the peak,
yep.
I mean, it almost bankrupted them. And BHP looks as though they were the heroes during that cycle because they didn't really spend much money. But you forget they made the big punt for Rio Tinto. And if that had gone through and the subsequent commodity down cycle happened, they probably would have gone bankrupt. You know, so it all depends on the price of the commodity, what happens to it, whether the deal's a good deal or not. It doesn't matter how much due diligence you've got. Doesn't matter what the assets they've got. All of that virtually doesn't matter. If the price of the commodity doesn't work for you, you die.
What about? I know this sounds stupid, but what about as someone like Neil Froneman having an instinct, a nose for a deal? He thinks that having, you know, he speaks to people from the industry every single day. He speaks to industry bodies. He speaks to other miners from whether it be in Australia or Nevada or wherever it is.
But not
and
even
he has
that.
A nose
I mean,
for a
not,
deal.
It's not even that. If palladium is at a, call it a 8-year low. Well, let's talk PGMs, not just palladium. If the PGMs are at an 8-year low, and the current price is and the current price is lower than the cost of production, to be honest, it doesn't take a genius to work out the next move is up. You don't know when. That you never know. But it, you know, when you're at the bottom of a commodity cycle, people still need commodities. The next move's up. You know, when iron ore hit $26 a ton in 2015 and your average production cost is $30, $40 a ton, you know the price is going up. You just don't know when. So, like, take Kumba, for example, absolute classic example. 2008, Kumba hit $600, $700, somewhere around there. And it fell. And it hit $20. You know, the next stop was $700. You know, so Is it instinct and no for it? I mean, you just take a gamble that at 20, the price is unsustainable. It's got to go up. And hopefully you're right. And it does go up. And then you look like a king. You know this industry. Meanwhile, you're just saying, if you're lucky enough to buy something at the bottom of a commodity cycle, you might not call the bottom exactly. The next move is up. You just don't know when. Now, taking gold, for example, gold's already peaked. Maybe the next move, the next structural move in gold is down.
Yeah, 1500. You know,
you're not buying gold at the bottom of the cycle. Mm. You're not buying gold at the bottom of the cycle. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so when you take, let me just get, I've actually got my graph up here. Let me just get the actual data here.
Yeah, there's a very good there's a very good analyst. Sorry, just while you're getting your graph up, Peter Major, and he always says
Peter very well.
He always says to me, Lindsay, just look at the mean price of gold. Just have a look. Never mind the spikes to 2050. Never mind the falls to 1250, whatever it is. Just have it will always revert to the mean. He's very, very staunch in that regard.
Yes.
And he's a proper old school miner as well himself because he's involved in mining in his personal capacity.
Yeah, so Neil Freuneman bought the Anglo-American and Lonro and Stillwater with the palladium price, let's call it 800.
Right.
You know, next stop, 2,700, 2,800. You looked like a king, and you are a king. You made so much money for yourself and for your shareholders, but you wouldn't have made that money if the palladium price didn't go up. So if you're lucky enough to buy at the bottom of the cycle, you know, the next move is up. It doesn't take a genius to work that out. But gold is another one. I'm not sure gold is in for a major bull run. I just don't know.
One of the reasons I don't think it is because there's a certain country, rather a large country, engaged in a little bit of a spat with another country in Europe, and it's called Russia. And and with their oil revenues, no one's ever mentioned this, but it suddenly occurred to me, with their oil revenues being cut off essentially, and they'll be 90% lower than they were three, 4 months ago at the end of the year. They're already 75% down. They have to sell gold reserves in order to fund their activities, not just the war, but also their economy. So I think they'll be offloading some gold, or at least hedging the gold in the futures market.
It's quite possible. The other negative on gold, in my view, is that inflation more than likely has peaked. I don't know where it's falling to. I hope it's falling to 3%. But the actual headline number, you know, unless oil goes to 250, has probably peaked or is very close to the peak. That's also not good for gold, you know, falling inflation. In theory, rising inflation is good for gold.
Mm.
So, yeah, we'll have to see on Goldfields. But I can promise you, Chris is pounding the pavements there, so to speak, because when that share drops 20%, you don't sleep that well that night.
No, so
might think you've got the best deal. And when the market votes like that, you're just not happy.
No. There's not much else to talk about. Just very briefly, in a couple of minutes, if you can sum up. I said this slightly glibly and facetiously that May is over now. So June the 1st is a new dawn for the markets. We're going into a Northern Hemisphere summer. Everyone's happy. It's the Platinum Jubilee of the Queen tomorrow. It's a four-day weekend in the UK. Everyone's happy. There's going to be no bearish sentiment. What do you think? What are you doing? Still cautious.
Sitting on cash.
Very good.
Sitting on cash. Now, when you go and buy, I don't know. I'm fairly confident to say the downside, we've had most of the downside. I'm fairly confident to say that. I don't know when it's going to end. I still think there is more weakness. So I don't know the point where we would go out and buy shares. I'm honestly not sure about that. But at some stage, hopefully, we get an opportunity to actually go out there and buy some shares. Now, my personal view, and I'm not sure about it, my personal view, the market dips below 64,000. I know it sounds a long way away from now, but we were almost there a week ago. The market dips below 64,000, I think we'll go out and buy.
Okay. In that case, patience is the name of the game for Wayne McCurry's Northern Hemisphere summer, South African winter. Wayne, I want to talk about food now. Sure. And you're from Kimberley. You're probably not a royalist. You probably don't care that it's tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of the Queen ascending to the throne. I mean, 70 years on the throne, and she's been such a stalwart. It's incredible.
It is quite something, yes. Mm. But I'm not a royalist.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
exactly. And but I understand that. I'm not a Carl man, you're a Carl man, and ne'er the twain shall meet, as they say. But I do love the Queen. She's been with me all my life. And the day that she goes, I'm telling you, there'll be no Wayne on Wednesday because I'm taking a week off with a black armband. But that's not going to happen for at least 5-6 years. But what I'm doing tomorrow, Wayne, because we need to talk about food, is that around about 3:30, quarter to four, I'm going to brew. I've got a lovely teapot, and I'm going to, with loose leaf tea, I'm going to brew a pot of Earl Grey tea. I'm going to get a china cup and saucer, okay, and some milk and sugar. And at the same time, I will have pre-prepared some cucumber sandwiches. And the way that you do them is you get, I'm going to use brown bread. A traditionalist might say white bread, but no, I'll get a very light brown bread. And you put a little bit of unsalted butter on it, not too much. You don't want to mask the taste of the cucumber. You do that, and you scrape off the green hard outside of the cucumber and cut it, slice it very thinly, and put it in.
Very thin, yeah.
Yeah, very, very thin indeed. Salt and pepper on top, and then the key element to the Buckingham Palace, because I've done some research on this, the Buckingham Palace cucumber sandwich is little bits of mint, little sprigs of mint in there, and it brings out the flavour of the cucumber.
The
then you cut off the crusts, and then you cut it into triangles and arrange it nicely on the plate, and I'm going to do that. And I've got one of these, I've got a figurine of the Queen, which has like a little solar panel in it, in her handbag. And so when the sun's shining, which it will be tomorrow, it makes her wave. So I'm going to have that. I'm going to take a photo of it, and I'm going to have a pot of Earl Grey tea and some beautiful triangular cucumber sandwiches. Cucumber sandwiches, Wayne. That's my story for the week. And I'm so looking forward to it.
I'm not going to join you in cucumber sandwiches. What I'm doing is I'm going on that virtually unknown thing, that thing that you remember vaguely from the distant, distant past.
What's that?
A business trip.
Oh, I remember that.
Trip. You remember those things?
I do remember having to go on business trips, and meeting people.
Business trip.
Hmm.
And meeting people, and I'm giving a presentation or two or three.
No, really?
So I'm off to Cape Town tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And Friday. Mm. And then my partner's joining me on Friday night, and we're spending the weekend and flying back on Sunday morning.
Do you have a favorite Cape Town restaurant?
No, we just actually go to anywhere in the waterfront because we're staying at the Bay Hotel, I think it's called, the one right at the end of the waterfront.
I think it's the Table Bay. Yeah, the Table Bay. It's a very good hotel.
You're staying
hotel.
There?
Yeah, okay.
Look, my favorite restaurant in Cape Town, with one little caveat to it, is actually the 12 Apostles Hotel, either of their restaurants there. They serve a prawn dish there. We speak about it often. It's named after a Russian count, man. Stroganoff. They serve a prawn stroganoff there too. Absolutely die for. It's worth going into Cape Town to the 12 Apostles to have that.
But it's way out of Cape Town.
But the caveat is the 12 Apostles
is close to Hout
Bay.
It's
a bit isolated.
Yeah, close to Llandudno.
Yeah, it's a bit isolated.
Yeah, I know. Well, but Wayne, I have to give you a little bit of advice here because you like dodgy places, don't you? Or rather, you like simple places. Okay.
No, I like dodgy places. Yeah.
There's a bar that is close to the old the old harbour of Cape Town, so it is frequented by sailors. It's a Portuguese place, and it's called Vasco da Gama. And I want you to write this down.
I'll remember Vasco da Gama. I learned a lot about him in history at school.
It's called Vasco da Gama, and they do squid tentacles there. They do a bowl of squid tentacles, which are to die for. But on the other, and also they just have these fish portions and these chicken liver portions that you would go berserk for. And I can tell you,
I must.
I'll send it to you.
But there you go. Look into that.
I think it's owned now. It's very, very traditional, very, very old school. And
well, if it was owned by Vasco da Gama, you would be very old by now.
No. It's owned by Graham Smith, the former Springbok cricket captain. Yeah, but it is really, really popular. And if you go into the traditional bar and you sit there, and you won't be disappointed. I think the Vasco da Gama is one to consider. And it's just a short taxi ride from the Table Bay Hotel.
No, well, we will certainly consider that. Yeah, it sounds very good.
Jolly good.
But we're going to go on a little helicopter flight, and we're going to go on a little cruise on a boat, even though it might be quite cold, but anyway.
Okay, well, that's quite flashy. But anyway, that's nice. Very romantic. Okay, Wayne, thank you very much for your time. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment. And that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.